Welcome to the Badass CEO Podcast. This is Mimi McLean. I'm a mom of five, entrepreneur, Columbia Business School grad, CPA, and angel investor. And I'm here to share with you my passion for entrepreneurship. Throughout my career, I have met many incredible people who have started businesses, disrupted industries, persevered, and turned opportunity into success. Each episode, we will discuss what it takes to become and continue to be a badass CEO, directly from the entrepreneurs who have made it happen. If you're new in your career, dreaming about starting your own business, or already an entrepreneur, the Badass CEO Podcast is for you. I want to give you the drive and tools needed to succeed in following your dreams. Hi, welcome back to the Badass CEO. This is your host, Mimi McLean. And today we have on Melissa Clayton from Tiny Tags. And this is a great podcast to listen to if you are a mom looking to start a business while you're at home after you've left your corporate job and wanting a little bit more. She has turned her business into a multi-million dollar business just from being home and working on a retail startup. So Melissa is the CEO and founder of Tiny Tags, an online jewelry store that designs and creates fine personalized jewelry for mothers. She's a former CPA who is passionate about entrepreneurship and sharing the lessons that she has learned along the way with other women. She's been a semi-finalist in the EY Entrepreneur of the Year in 2018, and she's a sought-after speaker on entrepreneurship. She's been featured on NBC Today Show, NBC Boston, New York Picks 11. She's also been interviewed by Entrepreneur Magazine and many more. Thank you for tuning in today. Please subscribe so that way you get notifications on our next podcast, which come out every Thursday. In addition, hop on over to thebadassceo.com to sign up for our newsletter so that you'll be also notified of our weekly blogs and weekly podcasts. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to learn about Tiny Tags and how you built your company and all the press that you've received from it. I love your product. So anybody who hasn't checked out Tiny Tags, you should do so online. Tell me your journey of how you went from CPA, which we both have mutually the same experience, to becoming an entrepreneur and starting your own business.
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having me. And like a lot of entrepreneurs, I think I grew up with a father that was an entrepreneur. It definitely, I think, was in my blood. And did the CPA route really because I was just sort of trying to figure out what am I going to do and kind of fell into it. And I loved business and I knew that accounting was the language of business. So I loved learning accounting. Did not love being a CPA, being behind a computer, crunching numbers all day.
Mm-hmm. And I can relate.
And always really knew that my strength was in connecting with people. And then when I wound up leaving corporate America is when I had my first son, never thought in a million years I would leave to be a stay-at-home mom. And it was during that time period after I had my son where I was like, you know, just sort of that new bubbling mom and really wanting something to wear with his name on it. And was still looking for that outlet. I knew I wasn't going to do the traditional stay-at-home mom route. And I knew I wanted to start something. So I was like, well, I'm going to try to figure out how to make this. And that was really how it all started.
And so at the time, was there anything else out there? I mean, because I feel like you see a lot of companies that are doing that now. Were you one of the first ones? Or were you just like, you know, I don't like what they're doing? Like, what was the market looking like at the time?
Yeah, I think there was like one or two other people. I mean, Etsy was not even a thing yet. Yeah. So it was really a long time ago.
But what year is that?
This way, I mean, it was my middle son is 15 and I remember I was pregnant with him the first necklace I made.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I see that you won the 2018 Ernst & Young Award.
Yeah.
That's like a lot. Do they typically take more established companies that have been around for a while or, you know, what was the impetus to winning that?
Yeah, I think they, you know, that was just really sharing my story. I think they like to show all different stages of a company. And that what I think I like sharing my journey is that it has been a little bit of a slow growth. And it's not something that has always been, you know, I didn't start this as a means to an end. I started it because I was wanting to do something and wanted this creative outlet. And then it was really the reaction that I was getting when I was sending them to my friends and really seeing, okay, this could be something. And that really was what fueled it. And I can remember laying in bed with my husband saying, could you imagine if I could do $200 a day, like what that would do to our lives and how that would change our life? And at the time, I was trying to do $200 a week to pay for the groceries and maybe a date night. So it's, you know, it's been quite a journey. And it's, you know, now my husband works for Tiny Tags. So,
oh, wow. So wait, did you, in the beginning, were you actually making them yourself or did you find somebody to help make them?
No. So I love telling this story because when people say like, what's advice? I always say, talk to everyone you know, because everyone knows something you don't. I was like, okay, I'm going to try to figure out how to make jewelry. Kind of Googled, and I don't even think Google was really a thing then. And it was really hard to find. And I wind up, I found like a true wholesale jewelry company. I ordered the stamp set, started to make it and gave up, threw it in a closet.
A lot of work.
Took a plane ride, sat next to a woman and started chit-chatting with her. And she was in true jewelry design school. And I said, you know, I've been trying to make this necklace. Like, how do I blacken the letters? And she gave me her business card. We were living out on the West Coast at the time. And she said, come into my store in San Francisco and I'll give you everything you need. And that is truly how I got back into it. And I absolutely would have not if I did not sit next to her on the plane. So...
And then, so you started then making them again yourself instead of finding somebody.
Yeah. So I made them myself for quite a few years. And then when we moved back to New England, that is when, you know, my oldest started kindergarten and I'm making jewelry was not what I loved. I loved the connection with the customers. I loved the creativity, but I didn't like making them. So that's when we started to outsource. And luckily for me, Mass in Rhode Island is where there's a massive history of jewelry making. And we found manufacturing partners that were 45 minutes from our house that had been in business since 1892, if you can believe that. So it was great.
Wow. And then I can imagine in the beginning, because I used to have a monogramming business, so it's kind of similar, where you started out by going to like these, you know, spring craft shows or Christmas holiday fairs, and that's how you got your name out?
Yeah, we would do like baby shows. We would go to like these biggest baby showers. I would do a couple of arts and crafts locally. But yeah, it was really a lot of word of mouth.
Right. And then once you give, that's what I did. I would do like a couple of holiday shows and then, or people would give it as a gift and then you would get the repeat customers and grow from there.
Yep.
And then I see that you know, you have a huge internet following. So tell me the journey about that and like how you went about getting that large of an audience.
Yeah. So the business that people see now and what Tiny Tags is today really has probably been the last like 7 to 8 years. My husband quit his job 5 years ago and joined. And that was a huge game changer as far as me being able to really focus on the business and the brand. And that really has just been over time. I think, you know, working with certain influencers when that, I feel like that has changed a lot in the last few years. But in the beginning, I think we got a lot of eyeballs and a lot of people got to know us through working with influencers and, you know, really just good old fashioned hustle, to be honest. We got into People Magazine in 2015. That was a big year for us because I DM'd the editor and I wanted to make her necklace and she was like, sure. And then she put us right smack in the middle of the Mother's Day gift guide for People Magazine.
Oh, that had been huge.
Yeah, it was a lot of DMing editors, sending product, telling them our story, what we were trying to do. And our product really was different than everything out there. And around that time, you know, Etsy was getting bigger. There was a lot more competition. And we luckily had gone to laser engraving. And that's something that we, even today, we're really trying to educate our consumer because we do laser engraving, which is a very labor intensive, very sophisticated way to personalize jewelry, where a laser comes down, a beam of light versus scratching the name, because scratching the name is actually quick and easy. And using a laser takes a lot more time. So
yeah. So there's a laser, what's the benefit of that? Because it looks better or lasts longer?
So there's two things. One, the metal's not cut, so it's smooth. It gives this very fine, elegant finish. And then we also can do back engraving, which for me is like the warm and fuzzy part of this. So we all love wearing our kids' names, but it's like when the dad puts on the back, you know, their wedding song, this a personal quote that they say to one another. We'll have moms that have adopted children. They'll put, they call it the gotcha date on the back. You know, we had a mom do her kids' birth weights. and they were 2 pounds. And I remember just pausing because we've done a lot of situations where moms have lost children and we didn't know. And then I found the customer and she DM'd me and she's like, they're thriving. They're 6 months old now. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these babies were 2 pounds. So the back engraving is really like this amazing feature where you can really make something personal to the person you're giving it to. So,
oh, that's great. So wait, going back to like your PR, because you do have also have gotten some great press and your Instagram, because I feel like that's a lot of money that people, especially startups, can spend between PR and trying to get influencers to help build their audience. And I know it's changed a lot, the landscape from when you originally did it, especially for influencers.
Yeah.
So any lessons that you've learned as far as like spending, outlaying money for PR and for influencers for startups?
Yes. One, if I send anybody anything, especially I ask for a condition if I'm going to send it. So I do not blindly send product anymore. I say, if you love it, will you do X, Y, and Z by X date? Putting a time frame on there is, I think, really important because they wind up getting lost. I like to move things off of DM and into an email, so it feels a little bit more contractual. And I love jumping on a Zoom. I'm a big fan of taking it off this kind of space of the internet and making it much more personal so they know that there's a face behind that brand, I think is really important because a lot of these influencers are receiving so much product that you can get lost. And working with smaller influencers, I think, you know, we have gotten really selective because one, we get asked a lot and we want someone, we don't want a one and done. We know who a Tiny Tags mom is and we want it to be that piece that she wears every day. She might layer it with other big statement pieces, but we know even if you don't see it, she has it on because it means something to her. So I think it's important to really qualify them.
And then do you use like a link share or something like that?
We do affiliate marketing. We have not done a great job at that. And it's something that we actually talked about is really growing that this year.
And then what about like your press, like of how you've got into, I was looking at your website, you've gotten onto NBC Today Show, Boston, and then you mentioned People. So was that all you guys did it on your own like hustle or did you guys hire a PR?
So I'll tell you one of another great talk to everybody. I got onto Fox News on Small Business Saturday in 2017, right? It was Saturday morning, Small Business Saturday. And that only happened because I took a train ride going from San Diego to LA. And I was going to, I think it was Mom 2.0 Summit. And I was on the platform. I could tell this other woman was going also to the same conference. I could just tell she was a mom away from her kids. And I really thought, I was like, am I going to sit next to her and get to know her? Or am I going to sit on my phone for 2 hours? And I was like, Missy, you didn't come here to be on your phone. I sat next to her, got to know her, exchanged info. She was great. Her name is Amanda. And she emailed me 3 months later and said, my PR woman is looking for a small business to be on Fox News. Okay, I give her your info. And I was like, sure. I then went on Fox News and we did $65,000 that day because I sat next to someone on the train. So most of those things have been hustle and asking people. You know, we have a PR firm now because the PR firm we have now, this is a big investment we're doing this year, is because we want more human interest stories. We want to tell more of our community story and how Tiny Tags has been part of that story. And my advice is if you're going to hire a PR firm, because it is, I think PR, like most people know, it's the long game, you know, it's not just one email, it's the follow-up, is make sure you have the bandwidth to manage them. And that's with any consultants. You know, we have lost a lot of money hiring digital marketing consultants and not managing them, not knowing one that we have the assets to give them so they can do their job. So I think it's always important to make sure you know how to manage any relationship, especially consultants.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. What lessons have you learned or maybe you wish you knew before you got started that you know now?
There is no silver bullet. One thing I've been really passionate about in the last few years is sharing how slow my journey has been, right? We are not a $20 million company. We're not a $10 million company. And I think people sometimes think we're a lot bigger than we are. And this has never been a means to an end for me. I love, like, I was actually sitting on Sunday and all the parents around me were like, oh, tomorrow's Monday. And I'm like, I'm psyched for Monday. Like, I love going to work. And so I love what I do. And it's never been a means to an end. I think a lot of the stories we hear in the press, which we all love reading, is that story of had an idea, raised money and sold it for millions and walked off into the sunset. And I think there's an audience. And I think there's a lot of small business owners that want to hear that middle story of, yeah, I've had the business for 10, 15 years. And you know, the last 5 years, we've had a lot of great things happen. And we're starting to see a little bit of that hockey stick. But it has not been an overnight success. So knowing that there is no real silver bullet, you know, I remember listening to Aiden and Nay's story. And, you know, for her, it was a silver bullet when Catherine came out having the prince wrapped in her blanket, right? So yeah, you see those stories, but there's a huge audience that that does not happen for. So I spoke with the CEO of Pure Vida. I had reached out to him and he said, you got to think of it as like a meatloaf, right? It's not just one thing. It's not just digital marketing. It's not just working with influencers. You have to do it all now because there's so many touch points and there is no silver bullet. So
no, it's true because I was watching Shark Tank the other day and I forgot what the business was, but the woman was looking for funding and you know, Mr. Wonderful was like, you know, I'm not going to invest. And it's not because I don't like the idea or I don't think you're worthy of it. It's because just some businesses aren't meant to be big businesses, aren't meant to have capital infused. And they're meant for, you know, like most businesses in the United States are these like mom and pop, sustainable, cash producing businesses that, you know, you don't need to have it be, you know, the next unicorn. And it was when he said that, I was like, you know, he's right. You know, like you don't have to, it's good to just keep it smaller like that and grow it and keep it as a business that you want in your family.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have three boys, so I'm not quite sure if anybody wants to take it over someday. I read the one book about, you know, built to sell. So I never want to think and have like my ego think that this business could last 40 years necessarily. And we do think about what is the exit strategy? What does it look like in 10 years? You know, I am very much the face of Tiny Tags, but how do we make sure that I am not Tiny Tags, that it's sustainable without me? And what does that look like? So we definitely are thinking, someone asked me, what's your big, you know, the big dream? And I'm like, I want every mom to you have a child. And it's like, do you have your Tiny Tags? And people know what that is. Because I think we stand for something. We're not just this cute little jewelry with your kid's name on it. Our brand is so much more than that. It is about, you know, we've been talking so much about, you know, our tagline was always celebrate your most precious gift. And I've learned over the years that to really celebrate your child, you first have to celebrate you, love yourself, connect to yourself, know what you're bringing into your motherhood journey, the baggage you bring from your own childhood, and learn from that so you don't just repeat it. So, you know, we've gotten so much like more involved and deeper in our relationship with our consumers, with our customers, our community, that I never could have predicted 15 years ago. And this is the part that actually is more fulfilling than ever, is hearing from our customers. You know, like I got a DM from a mom, you know, and I sent her a book actually. And I'm like, I can't believe the relationship I have with our customers.
That's amazing.
Through social media, you know, and I'm really excited to finally hopefully get back out into the world and do events and connect with people in person because you just can't beat that.
Now, are you strictly B2C or do you work with retailers as well?
So we just, we launched in Nordstrom online last year. We just launched in 2 weeks ago in Pottery Barn Kids. And we're really excited about that partnership. We are in Maisonette and we're also in Pee in the Pod, hopefully in the next 2 weeks. And that's been something really the last 18 months, this sort of third party distribution that we now can handle internally. We know who we are. We know who we want to work with. So yeah, but we've strictly have been D2C up until really last year.
Well, your margins, because I find a lot of time companies that go B2C don't have the margins built in to then transfer and then start going B2B.
You are absolutely correct. So, and what we're trying to do to overcome that is we want to create custom lines for those third parties, right? So we really want Pottery Barn. We want to come up with tiny tags for Pottery Barn. So we are building into that price structure that we can support the third party. Because like right now with Nordstrom, it's challenging. It's more of a marketing brand awareness than it is a moneymaker. So absolutely. And that's one thing I talk about. I've read a book, The Psychology of Pricing. And I have said that, like, if you think you might go wholesale, you need to make sure that your pricing can support that, or if you find certain lines that you only do wholesale with.
Yeah, because I think another, you know, because I worked at Bloomingdale's for a little while in the buying department, and, you know, a lot of startups that are, you know, consumer product driven are so excited when they get into retail, like into department stores, but they don't realize, like, really, you're not making money. By the time, you know, it is like a marketing play and a brand awareness play, because by the time you sell there, and then there's also, they always want all these like markbacks, or sometimes they want you to take it back if it doesn't sell, or they want money for advertising. You know, they just know how to play the game a little bit better than the smaller startups, right? So, you know, I always try to tell companies that I talk to, like, just know that if you're going into any of these department stores, you'll be happy to just break even at that point.
Right. And you also don't own the relationship with the customer. And when we talk about who would want to buy tiny tags, who would really want to invest in tiny tags in 10 years, if we don't own that relationship, and, you know, if we come out with a new product line and we can't communicate directly with them, that to me is not as attractive. And I also think, you know, I've talked to plenty of people where, you know, Nordstrom drops you, you know, and that's 40% of your business. And never mind the inventory part about it. So luckily, most of our stuff is all custom made. So from a cash flow and inventory, we're very fortunate that our manufacturers in Rhode Island carry the inventory. So we're not having to buy, you know, sheets of 14 karat gold and all that.
That's great. Now, have you been able to kind of keep most of your team outsourced, or did you have to start bringing in a team in-house?
A little bit of both. So right at the beginning, 2020, the beginning of COVID, we hired our first like real hire. Her name is Celine. She is our director of marketing. She's up in Canada. And that was when I had been so burnt by the digital marketing firm I hired that I was, you know, every answer was buy more Facebook ads, buy more Facebook ads. And I had it, we fired them. And I said, we have to hire someone internally that can manage this. So that was a huge step for us because, you know, it's a real salary. It's not your friend down the street. It's not a 1099 employee, but that was a game changer for us. And that has really driven our business a lot, having Slynn on board. Mm-hmm. And we just hired our first e-commerce manager. So being an econ brand and not having an econ manager has been crazy to me. But again, it was easier to outsource technology and the IT than bring it in-house. So she's starting actually on Monday. And we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
So we've always done like a mix.
Yeah. And then, okay. So I don't know if you know this, but only 1.7% of women ever reach that seven-figure number, that $1 million in sales. Do you see like any characteristics or reasons what would make somebody reach that and others not?
So I think for me, and I can really speak to my experience, and I love that you're talking numbers because that's been something that's really passionate to me. I love going to a lot of women networking groups. And the biggest challenge I find in women networking groups is no one's talking revenue. No one, you know, you'll have someone stand up there and tell, give advice and share their journey, but then they don't say, okay, this is how I was funded. This is how much money I'm making. And this is my revenue. And I think that it's really important if you're going to be a person that you've done something right and that people should take your advice and you're not going to share that information. If your family is funding your business because you're well off, that's awesome. But that's part of your story. You know, that has to be, I think, disclosed personally if you're going to be giving advice. So I think for me, you know, when we went from 450 to a million, I don't think it was an accident that year that I had joined EO, which is Entrepreneurs Organization. They have a fantastic accelerator program. So in order to be an EO member, you have to have a million in revenue. But they have an accelerator program where if you have at least 250 in revenue, trying to get to a million, and EO's whole messaging is about working on your business, not in your business. And so I think for me, that was really critical. And I don't think it was an accident. That was the year my husband joined. So I was more focused. I think I also, if I had to guess, I think that knowing, and again, I think this all comes in that it takes time, right? Part of EO is understanding your core values, your branding. And we are really focused, right? We do not, as when Mother's Day is over, we don't switch to marketing to brides and graduates and Father's Day. I used to do that. I had everyone tell me, you don't have a Father's Day gift? And I'm like, no, we don't. And I listened to a book called Brand Warfare. And it was really about how to build a brand and to be specific and be focused. And to also look internally at what you cared about. And I knew I cared about talking to moms. I wanted to talk about motherhood and children. And that is when we said, you know what? We are only making jewelry geared towards moms. And I think having that very singular voice and that strong voice made running the business easier. And I mean, I think also, you know, as far as getting to a million, you know, I had a husband that quit his job, you know, that's was really risky. So I think for women, I think it's always hard because, you know, if you are a mother and you have children, it is always this balance. You know, how there's not enough women CEOs out there. The reality is, I think a lot of women are trying to balance it all. And I love that quote of like, you can have it all, but not at the same time. That was me. You know, I left corporate America. If I had wanted to stay on that path, I took 7 years off essentially. And that matters, you know, when you're climbing that ladder. So I think it's, I think it's just a challenging wanting to have children and not work, you know, a 70-hour work week.
It's hard. Yeah. Cause you can't focus on everything.
Yeah.
And do it well. Yep. Okay. So this has been amazing. Is there anything you would like to end on? Any kind of advice or thoughts?
I think getting mentors, you know, that's one thing I've been really, I have DM'd some really big people. I have asked really big people to give me 15 minutes of their time. I really do look at everyone knowing something that I don't and asking for help. So if I have DM'd, like when I talked to the CEO of Pure Vita, I just said, can I just have 15 minutes of your time? I'd love to know your thoughts on digital marketing. You know, what's worked for you, what hasn't worked for you. Be really specific with your ask. But then also having mentors, you know, finding someone that could do a 6-month mentorship, you know, and really define what the ask is. I just think, and women have to support each other. I have always said, if anybody wants to email me, I give out my phone number. I love talking about business and small businesses because for me, it's been such a rewarding experience and it kind of a little bit feels like you control your own destiny. So finding someone that can help you and be a mentor, I think is really good advice.
Melissa, thank you so much. This has been amazing. So for anybody who's looking, it's tinytags.com. And also you can follow her on Instagram. She's got a big following there as well. I wish you the best of luck. And Mother's Day is right around the corner for anybody who is listening and has a mother.
Yeah.
And is not a mother, so it might not be on their mind.
But if you have a grandmother, we have lots of moms out there.
Yes. No, I'm thinking like we know that it's Mother's Day for our mother.
Oh, yes.
But it's like if it's like the daughter is listening right now, like right. You know, like it's Mother's Day. It's coming up. But anyway, so thank you so much and best luck to you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on The Badass CEO. To get your copy of the top 10 tips every entrepreneur should know, go to thebadassceo.com/tips. Also, please leave a review as it helps others find us. If you have any ideas or suggestions, I would love to hear them. So email me at mimi@thebadassceo.com. See you next week, and thank you for listening.